Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
You know, Sam, don't be shy this afternoon playing some of their songs because they are one of the most iconic 60s bands. Actually started in the 50s, believe it or not. The 50s. But Brian Wilson died today at the age of 82. He is the voice you hear right there.
What a brilliant gift of a human being.
You know, and they always seem to, at least when I was growing up and I still think this, kind of ended up playing second fiddle to the Beatles and the Rolling Stones.
The Beatles would tell you they thought Pet Sounds was the most brilliant album of all time.
You're absolutely right, and it might be. But I grew up on, my parents weren't into the Beatles very much. They weren't into the Rolling Stones. I grew up on Beach Boys 8-track cassettes in my dad's car. And in my room, and Surfer Girl, and Surfing USA, and... wouldn't it be nice? I mean, just literally, even though these songs were recorded before any of us were born, these were the songs of my youth because these were the songs that my parents played. Brian Wilson dead today at the age of 82. Mm. And he was a genius. Struggled with substance abuse, but it was comeback after comeback after comeback.
He was in a conservatorship toward the end of his life. And Scott, if you have not seen Love and Mercy... The story of how several years ago he was just flat out taken advantage of. A brilliant performance by, is it Paul Giamatti? God, I love him. And John Cusack plays Brian Wilson. And Elizabeth Banks is in it. And it basically, you know, Elizabeth Banks meets him and they start like trying to go out on a date. And he says, I can't leave the house. And she goes, what are you talking about? He goes, well, I'm not allowed to leave the house. I mean,
he was schizophrenic.
He was, but also back in the day, there were people taking advantage of that situation. Love and Mercy is the movie. It is outstanding. If you're looking for something to watch after the game tonight, that is your movie.
By the way, do you know what the Beach Boys were originally going to call themselves?
Ooh, I don't know what.
The Pendletones.
Oh, ugh.
The Pendletones.
That does not have the same ring to it.
It says here, they wanted to call themselves the Pendletones in honor of a popular flannel shirt that they wore in early publicity photos, but when they first saw the pressings for Surfin', they discovered the record label had tagged them the Beach Boys.
Good.
Huh. Okay. What's our lead today?
Well, I'm going to tell you, there is something that happened to me last night that is Jack Caglione and the Royals adjacent. And every once in a while, something happens in your life, Scott, or something happens in my life. And I said this to Johnny at dinner. I don't think in the almost 14 years we've been doing this show, this has ever come up on the program.
Does this have to do with the very odd picture that
yes,
you sent me last
yes,
night?
Yes,
okay.
It does.
Okay.
Tell everyone what the picture showed.
It was a very up-close image of a half-eaten dish of what appeared to be Mexican food with the fork sitting on the plate. Yep. There was some rice and some other things left over.
So we pop over to one of my favorite places last night because I cannot miss the Royals game. And I almost had...
Can I ask where this newfound obsession came from?
No. Okay. I almost suffered a devastating hand injury, and I blame Jack Caglione.
Oh, boy.
So we go to one of my favorite spots in town. We sit down right at the bar, right in front of the screens. And you know I will not miss an at-bat with that child. I just will not. I am so excited he's here. I was wearing my Cag shirt again. Mm. Mm. So we're sitting there, and we order, and he is getting ready to come up to bat. And I am distracted. And what does the server always say to you when they put that plate down in front of you? It is universally Mexican restaurant protocol.
Be careful, hot plate.
Be careful. This plate is really hot. Well, I'm watching the Royals game.
Oh, God.
Jack is up to bat. I don't have time to listen to your directions.
You mean Kegs?
So They put the plate down. You guys, I want you to look this up.
They're on first name basis.
I go to move it in front of me because they set it maybe, 12 inches out there. I go to just grab it, move it in front of me. I have now lost all feeling in my right hand and dare I say all the way up to my elbow. Have you ever accidentally,
no,
when they tell you, I mean, they put it down with an oven mitt. I worked for about 6 seconds at a Mexican restaurant in college, and those plates are put in the oven
to keep the rice and beans warm while your entree is finishing being prepared.
Would you please look up the average temperature?
I'll do it.
748 degrees.
Yep, Mexican combo plate. I would have guessed it was around 800,000 degrees. And I'm not looking for a lawsuit here. I'm just telling you.
You're not going to get one.
I got to pay better attention when my boy is up to bat and the taco's put down in front of me.
Now, who would you sue? Would you sue the restaurant or would you sue Jack or would you sue the Royals?
All I really want for my pain and suffering for the punitive damages is I would like him to come on the show. I think this is a fair trade-off.
Okay. Right.
I think it's a fair trade-off.
Good luck with that one.
First of all,
I'm a super fan.
First of all, in what world are you due any recourse? You were at a Mexican restaurant, correct?
Yes.
Okay. By the way, I'm playing the defense lawyer for whomever you're going to sue. Mm-hmm. You did order a plate, did you not?
Yes.
You've even been employed in the past at a Mexican restaurant, have you not?
Absolutely.
It was Dos Hombres in Lawrence, if
one
I'm not
taco,
mistaken.
One taco, one enchilada. I'm that kind of, I don't get anything else.
The server did say, caution, hot plate.
They always do.
And did your server say that?
I believe they did.
Okay.
But I was fixated
on
the bat at hand.
Ma'am, it was a yes or no question.
Yes.
And did you reach for the plate after it was served to you within relatively short time?
I had to reach for it because I couldn't reach it.
Okay. Did you use a napkin or some sort of device to pull the plate closer to you?
No, I did not. That is why I suffered third-degree burns on my hand.
Case dismissed.
Third degree
burns. Give me a break.
Has anybody ever not touched the plate within minutes?
Why do we do that? This is the topic.
Every time.
And I want to ask people, I really want to ask our everyone has done it.
I've never done it.
Yes, you do.
I don't grab hot plates.
Listen, it is human nature and instinct, and I don't know why. When someone says, be careful, that's hot, what is the first thing you do? Now, I didn't mean to glob onto it like I did, because I did burn myself. But the first thing you do is you go, it's like a compulsion.
I always do it before they even leave the table, and 9 times out of 10, they'll say, told you so. By the way, Dana, the text line is begging me to ask, and don't look it up.
Yep.
Hands off the keyboard.
Okay.
Jack, J-A-C.
J-A-C, okay, yeah.
Is not his real name.
Mm-mm. It's not.
Why is J-A-C his name, and what is his real name?
So Jack is short for a name that is longer than J-A-C.
No.
No.
I was going to go with Jacquino.
No.
Swing and a miss.
Not even close.
Swing and a miss. We're going to call that strike two.
I was also probably not paying attention when that bit of wisdom was relayed on the broadcast.
Okay.
Would you like to know the answer?
Yes.
Well, hang on.
Oh.
Let's give her some hints. Let's give her some hints here.
Okay.
Well, is it Jackson after Bo Jackson?
No.
Because that's interesting. You know, he tied that record.
Do you think maybe it could be initials?
Oh.
What's the last letter?
Caglione, of course. He's J-A-C. He's probably John Allen Caglione.
Not even close.
Ooh, you got the middle name right.
Yeah.
Oh, you did get the middle name right.
Allen, sure.
Go ahead, Sam.
Is it Joseph?
Like guess?
Is it Joseph?
No.
Johnny?
No.
Nope.
Jimmy?
Nope.
Ooh, that's Jaquinta. Like seven. What?
I have no idea.
Jeffrey
Allen Caglione.
And he goes Jack. By Jack.
I love
because
it.
It's J-A-C.
He's seen his darling fiance.
Okay, I'm going to ask you, and I'm really excited
you
about
this kid.
You have
never burned your hand on the hot 800-degree Mexican plate?
I don't eat Mexican food.
I don't even know you.
I don't like Mexican food. I like tacos.
It is one of the finest cuisines available.
Oh my God, it's the best thing ever. Anyway, I digress.
No, but I'm really excited that this kid's in town.
Yeah.
But have you seen yourself lately?
Oh, I am so excited.
No, excited is not the word I was going to use.
We're looking at buying like tickets.
Season?
Yeah, I'm telling you, I'm all in. We absolutely
You're obsessed.
We love watching the games. I was not, you know, last night was not the result we wanted. We'll get him back.
10-2 with Aaron Judge hitting a record distance home run.
Did you see the two misses where the ball one in one play, you guys, Salvi popped it up and their three outfielders look like Larry, Moe, and Curly. Keystone Cops like, ah, and the ball just goes plunk.
Did you see Aaron Judge's home run?
It was large.
Yeah. You know how large it was? The cameraman could not keep up with it.
Yeah. I believe it's I heard it was the largest ever over that.
That is correct.
Yeah.
The sixth longest home run ever hit at Kauffman Stadium.
Yeah.
It was so fun.
It was so far and so fast, the cameraman could not keep up with the ball.
Go Royals.
913-586-7798. 586-7798. Here on Dana and Parks.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
So you may recall, well, before I get to this story, one more quick story about Jack Kags.
Yes, please.
Monday was his first day in Kansas City.
Oh, yeah. So was Patrick Mahomes. And
No. This is Monday. They're off day.
Oh, okay. You just mean he's here.
They got back in town late Sunday.
Yep.
And so Monday was an off day for the Royals.
Okay.
His first full day in Kansas City.
Got it.
Would you care to guess how he spent his time?
Please tell me.
Kags, as he's affectionately known, or Jack, went house hunting.
Yep.
And went to a baseball card store. Apparently, he is a major collector of baseball cards.
Yep.
And so, if you happened to tune in to our friends over at 96.5 The Fan yesterday, or on Monday, pardon me, while he was house hunting, he may have heard this little tribute.
Oh, please.
From the midday program over there.
The name of the song is...
All right, that was enough.
It's so bad.
That's awful.
But I love it.
Thank you, Cody Tapp.
You know that he got a standing ovation last night the entire time of his first at bat?
Did he get a hit?
He got an entire standing ovation throughout the duration of his entire first up at bat. He hit and got an RBI. He brought us a run in.
Oh, he did get one hit.
Yes, one of the runs that we got last night was because of him.
One of the two?
It was not our best night, but my gosh, I would have loved to have been there last night. Did you see, like, Carlton
was there. Reggie Jackson was there.
George Brett was right behind.
Oh, I'm sure George
home plate
there.
Next to Patrick Mahomes and Brittany.
Hmm.
So fun.
It was 6 months ago. We told you about this Platte City reporter who was killed.
Yeah.
Platte City citizen. He was a sports reporter. Beloved. Dennis Sharkey. They may have a suspect.
Finally.
6 months after someone shot and killed a Kansas City sports reporter in a suspected road rage incident on I-29, detectives may have a break in the case. Investigators with the Platte County Sheriff's Department say they have identified and they have interviewed a possible suspect in the death of 50-year-old Dennis Sharkey Jr. You remember the story? There was some sort of road rage incident. It was in December, if I'm not mistaken. January, beg your pardon. And these two cars pull off to the side of the road or stop in traffic on I-29.
Detectives believe that there was some reason that they stopped. Nobody really knows what happened. All they know is that the Chevy Spark that Sharkey was driving was found in the ditch off of the side of the highway.
Yeah, his body was in the car. He was actually on his way back from covering a sporting event when he was killed. And they knew at the time... you know, that somebody saw something.
Keep in mind, this is in January, so it's dark at 6:30.
It was 6:30 at night, but it would have been heavily traveled. I am over the moon to hear that they have questioned somebody in that death.
They have not identified this person, and they have not said that they are a suspect.
Well, have fun going to trial in Platte.
You don't crime in Platte. That is correct. Speaking of road rage, more than a dozen felony charges have been filed against a man accused of intentionally running his vehicle into the back of a car occupied by a family. Pettis County records filed on Saturday indicate that Jeremy Shacklett, 48 years old, has been charged in connection with a road rage incident that put two teenagers in danger. On Friday at 1:25,
yeah,
so they allege, law enforcement officials received a 911 call from a female passenger who reported the car that she was traveling in was hit from behind by another vehicle on Missouri Highway 52 near Windsor. The victim told investigators that the vehicle that she was in was occupied by the male driver and two teenagers, 13 and 15. Go ahead, sorry.
I was just going to say, have we lost our ability to get over it?
Yes.
Oh, God,
get over it. I've started driving at rush hour 3 days a week.
Oh.
And it sucks. And yeah, I get raging.
10 and 2.
But you know what? Mm-hmm. I keep driving. Just get over it.
So Shacklett's been charged with 9 counts of armed criminal action.
Good God.
Felonies. 4 counts of assault. 2 counts of endangering the welfare of a child. Tampering with a motor vehicle. Leaving the scene of an accident. Property damage. Driving while intoxicated.
Mm.
And operating motor vehicle in a careless and imprudent manner. He remains behind bars on a $100,000 bond.
Good. Do not let him out.
He had a BAC, so they claim, of .115. Clearly over the legal limit.
Mm-hmm.
Good. And yes, Sam, you're right. We have lost the ability to say woosa.
And so because of that, we remind our listeners routinely, you know, at any given moment, look at all the traffic around you. You never know what someone's going through. That's number one.
Yep.
But just always assume that everyone around you is crazy. Don't engage. I tell my kids, eyes straight forward. If something happens and someone starts tailgating and acting a fool and aggressively trying to get you to pull over, you call police.
Well, and whatever you decide to do within that moment of rage will not right the perceived wrong that you feel has just happened to you. And whatever you decide to do that isn't get over it and keep driving is going to make the situation worse.
Why is it when you bump into someone at the grocery store or coming off an elevator in a building or any number of places where you actually invade somebody's space?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's first reaction generally, unless you're crazy, is, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Oh, no problem.
Yeah, no problem.
You just walk. Yep. Something about the car turns people into maniacs.
I've made this argument before. When people get in their car, and I think it's partly due to the inherent danger of the potential for a car accident or wreck, the car becomes an extension of your personal self. And if somebody cuts you off or doesn't pay attention to the law, it's considered a personal affront. And I don't know why. To your point, it's a great one, Dana. If you and I were to come around the corner at each other at a grocery store,
yeah,
and our, maybe even, God forbid, our carts actually hit each other, we would look at each other and go, I'm so sorry. And the other person would say, it's no problem. I'm sorry. When you're in a car, there's something different, and I don't understand it.
Okay, so that tees up our next topic, and I found this in the New York Times to be fascinating, and here's just going to read the headline. Is it ever okay to touch a stranger?
Yes.
A tense exchange between Denzel Washington and a photographer at the Cannes Film Festival is raising questions about laying hands on someone you do not know. We're going to give you the scenario when we come back. Remember, it used to be okay to tap someone on the shoulder. Boop, boop. Hey, buddy. Can we do that today?
913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
Thank you.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Bum, bum, bum. All right, welcome back. Hey, coming up in the 3 o'clock hour, 3:15, his name is Creskin Torres, and he's known as the rideshare foodie. He has gone through all 50 states, all of them.
No way.
And he has tasted the local delicacies. When he was in Kansas City, Missouri, he had barbecue. When he was in Texas, he had barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
Who has the best barbecue? Mm-hmm. He will tell us.
Uh-oh.
And uh-oh. And he ate at all the usual suspects here in Kansas City. Jack Stack, Arthur Bryant's, Gates, Joe's, and a handful of others. Which restaurant in Kansas City, in his opinion, has the best barbecue?
Mm.
And he will tell us. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, you have a story about touching people? I can't wait.
I want to know in what scenario, if any, and the answer could be none, under what scenario is it okay for you to touch someone that you do not know? So here is...
You're talking other than a handshake.
Yeah, other than, hi, nice to meet you.
Right.
Okay? Even when the waitress walks by, miss... The story from the New York Times. In a tense exchange on the red carpet at the Cannes Film Festival this week, a photographer grabbed the actor Denzel Washington's arm, reached out, touched the arm, apparently seeking another photo. Mr. Washington, perturbed, yanked his arm back and warned the photographer to stop. Don't touch me. A brief squabble between seeming strangers that made headlines and raised the question, is it ever okay to touch someone you don't know? So the Times reached out to some etiquette experts, and here's what they said. Etiquette when it comes to spontaneous touching is nuanced. Social rules vary from place to place and culture to culture. Still, the manners experts we spoke with were unanimous. The hard and fast rule about touching strangers is that you should not. We ran some scenarios by our etiquette experts. What if you're trying to flag down a server? No. Placing a hand on someone as you're trying to move through a crowd? No. We're going to come back to that one.
Ooh, yeah, I've done that.
If, say, someone drops a wallet without noticing and doesn't hear your calls, you could use touch briefly, but you do not grab or clasp the person. Quoting here from Elaine Schwann, an author and etiquette expert in California, keep your hands to yourself. You do not touch people without their permission unless, and this is her only exception, you are trying to save them from something. Like a car is barreling down the road, someone's got their nose in their phone, you can grab them at that point.
But a doctor's appointment.
Well, clearly. They're going to be invading your space.
I mean, I'm paying you to touch me there. Hello.
River.
You got the whole fist in there, Doc?
Here's another one. Some people call themselves huggers. And I've heard a lot of people say this, Scott. If you are a hugger, wonderful. And you ask, you say, I'm a hugger. Are you okay with that?
I've never had anybody hug me that I just met.
Oh, I have many times.
Really?
All the time, actually. I guess I'm a huggable person.
Huh.
I think it depends on the situation, and I know it depends is probably the lamest answer I could probably provide, but if I were in a high-intensity situation, like on a red carpet, and you might be thinking, why is that high intensity? It is.
It's a lot of yelling.
And somebody comes up and grabs my arm, and I'm Denzel Washington, yeah, I'm going to react pretty aggressively. You tap me on the shoulder, that's totally different.
Explain what you see there.
Well, I see Denzel Washington pointing his finger at a man's face.
He is angry.
He's clearly agitated.
Don't you touch me.
And I don't know if the guy is laughing or yelling.
I think at first he was taken aback. He was like, oh.
Denzel is clearly frustrated.
Do not lay your hands on me.
Yeah.
What if Bon Jovi is singing Lay Your Hands on Me?
Then he wants you to lay your hands on him. Right?
If you're ready and willing and able.
I think there are a handful of occasions, obviously to save somebody from imminent danger.
Yeah.
If somebody drops something on a sidewalk, I might tap them on the shoulder. I wouldn't grasp them.
Yeah.
But I might tap them on the shoulder and say, hey, you dropped that over there.
Okay. I'm going to describe the tap in question. Okay?
Okay.
Oh, he is mad.
That's disappointing because he's my favorite actor.
It is a bup, bup, bup. Okay, so take three fingers, you guys, unless you got both hands on the wheel. Take three fingers to your shoulder quickly and just go bup, bup, bup. He went bup, bup, bup. And then it appears he tries to kind of like, not pinch, but a little, you know, but this happens in 1/10 of a second.
See, the bup, bup, bup is okay.
I think the bup, bup, bup is all right.
Even slightly more aggressive, not okay.
The photographer is smiling and laughing because it was so innocuous. Bup, bup, bup. And the...
Maybe Denzel was having a bad day.
Well, if she's talking to Spike Lee. I'm going to watch. It's just bup, bup, bup.
Wow.
I know. When I first read the story, I'm going to be honest. In your mind, what did you think it was going to be? Like grabbing his arm.
Yeah, like pulling him over, trying to turn him around.
Bup, bup, bup.
Can you rewind that again?
Let me see the original infraction. Yes, I watched it three times. Okay. Bup, bup, bup.
Yeah, Denzel, and he's my favorite actor, is overreacting. He is totally overreacting.
But the etiquette experts would say, even with a server, not that a server is less important than Denzel Washington, you do not bup, bup, bup.
Well, he was bumping.
He repeatedly says to the photographer, stop it, stop it, stop it, with his finger out. That's what he's saying when he's pointing at him.
Well, why don't you ask your etiquette experts if it's ever okay to point your finger at somebody's face? The answer is no.
No, that's fighting words right there.
It is.
Well, yeah,
go ahead, Sam.
I think an etiquette expert's always going to err very far on the side of caution.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, in reality, I think we can still tap people on the shoulder. And moving through a crowd, I mean, if I'm at a concert and I'm trying to get back to my friends and you're not moving, you're getting touched.
If you're in my way.
Well, what you do is you know this. You just go, oh, sorry, moving through, sorry. That's
and
what you do.
I'll put my hand on the middle of somebody's back and gently, if I'm, for example, in a large crowd, like at a concert.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to get somewhere and you're just standing there not moving and you are impeding my progress.
You say, excuse me first.
Instead of a bump, bump, bump. I'm going to put my hand on the middle of your back and gently say, excuse me.
I would say excuse me first and then the hand to the back.
I usually go for the shoulder, but yeah.
Let me ask you this. Is it different male to female, female to male?
I'd be less inclined to touch a woman.
Yep.
Than I would a man.
And I've been blown up on before in a concert setting for that.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Concerts kind of you do what you do. I mean, you know, obviously within, you can't assault someone, but when you're all packed in like that.
Why were you assaulted, Sam?
I'm a large person in a concert setting. People don't like it when I make my way through a crowd. I don't know why.
Danny, you're screwing up my TV right now.
I know. I'm trying. Sorry. If there's breaking news, we can't tell you because I just screwed up Scott's TV.
You guys are so old.
Just text us on the text line if there's breaking news. Because Scott was watching CNN, and now he's not.
And we'll find out later. By later, I mean when we get home. 913-586-7798. Is it ever okay, and in what scenario, to touch someone you don't know? And lose it with the Independence Avenue jokes. They write themselves. 913-586-7798. 586-7798. Here on Dan and Parks. Let's go to Suzanne in Lee's Summit. Hello, Suzanne.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. It is not okay to touch people. I have it happen all the time. I am blind, and for some reason, people think that gives them permission to grab a hold of me and push me and pull me rather than direct me with their words. And it just happened on Thursday at a doctor's office. The nurse was very incompetent and flustered at giving me directions. And she, at the same time, while simultaneously asking me if it was okay if she grabbed my arm, she said, "Is it okay?" And, you know, she grabbed my arm at the same time. I'm like, "No, just use your words."
Suzanne, thank you for educating us about this, because I feel like people don't know. They're trying to be helpful. I don't mean in this case specifically, but I do think people generally, that it might come from a good place or just from, you know, not having the proper education. So tell us how you want folks to proceed, because you're right. You wouldn't go grabbing somebody's arm to take them back someplace if they were a sighted person.
Right. Yeah, it happens often when they're trying to direct me to a chair or a doorway, and people don't know their right from their left sometimes. So it does get awkward.
Or
if I'm standing at a corner, they might say, "Here, may I help? Can I help you cross the street?" And they'll just kind of take me and start, you know, pushing me. Or that's not okay.
That is not okay. Even though they're trying to help you.
Yeah, words are always better, whether you're sighted or not.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you completely blind?
Yeah.
Have you always been? If you don't mind me asking.
No, I had a brain tumor when I was 15.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. It's all good.
All right. Well, Suzanne, thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, be well. Some meteorologists and tornado researchers believe the region dubbed Tornado Alley is beginning to shift east. Tornado Alley is loosely defined as a significant portion of the Midwest and South, including large parts of Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, Nebraska, and Oklahoma. In some maps, portions of New Mexico, Colorado, Iowa, Missouri, and Arkansas are also included in Tornado Alley. However, some researchers believe that the zone is shifting eastward to now include large parts of Iowa, Missouri, Arkansas, Louisiana, Illinois, Iowa, Tennessee, Kentucky, and Mississippi.
Yep.
And even going so far as Ohio. A map of tornadoes confirmed by the National Weather Service so far in 2025 shows most of the year's tornadoes have happened east of the Mississippi River. Huh. The zone typically referred to as Tornado Alley is west of the Mississippi River.
Just follow the instructions and go to the basement when you hear the sirens. Speaking of bad touch, a jury has found Harvey Weinstein guilty in the sex crime's latest case.
What a transition.
Against him.
That was really bizarre.
He has been convicted of sex crimes for a second time. The verdict came today, but I believe it was a mixed verdict. Weinstein was found guilty of one count of criminal sexual act in the first degree, not guilty of another count for the same charge, and with no verdict on one count of rape in the third degree. You can return no verdict? I didn't know you could do that.
Apparently you can. Dare I say something that I said to Dana off the air? I think he is a horrible, despicable, gross, disgusting...
Harvey Weinstein we're talking about here.
No, I'm about to talk about Diddy.
Okay. I was going to say, there is no yeah but with Harvey Weinstein.
No, there is not. Diddy is just a bad person. But I'm starting to wonder if he's really guilty of the charges that they have levied against him.
What?
He's accused of sex trafficking.
Okay.
Human trafficking. And the more I watch the news, and I watch way too much, the more I'm starting to think, while he is gross, disgusting, potentially evil, mean, not a good person, I'm not convinced he's guilty of the charges of which they have charged him. Now, if you're going to get him on domestic violence, dangling somebody over a balcony at a hotel, guilty. I believe these women.
Can I clarify one thing in the Weinstein case?
Yes, we're bouncing.
Jessica Mann, a former aspiring actress, described being raped by Weinstein in a hotel room in 2013. The jury delivered its verdicts in the other women's cases. They are going back tomorrow to decide that charge. And so I don't know if this was one of those, you know, where they were hopelessly deadlocked at one point. They were fighting. The jury foreperson came to the judge and said they're forming alliances. You know, this is not going well. I wonder if this is a better way to do it. Like, give us the verdicts that you know, okay? Mm-hmm. Guilty on the first count, not guilty on the second count, and then let us go back and take a crack at the third count. At any rate, he's a horrible human being, and he will die. Yeah. He will die wearing orange, and it makes me happy.
And he, even if they were to acquit him on all the charges in New York, he is still guilty on charges in California. Yes. So it doesn't really matter.
Well, it does matter.
It matters to the victims.
With respect, it does.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. What I was saying, and maybe it came out wrong. He's not going to go free.
Yeah.
There's no risk of that. What were you going to say, Sam?
Back to Diddy. It depends on the jury's interpretation of sex trafficking. Flying people in and coercing them into aggressive acts has been described throughout the trial, and then offering them lavish items. It doesn't have to be monetary. In response to not say anything, I would argue, qualifies as sex trafficking.
Yeah, because I think, Sam, you're right. You know, there are people that will think erroneously that trafficking, and it could be this, but it's not exclusively this, where someone gets on an airplane with a sex offender and you are forcing that person to go from point A to point B.
You got to prove that they forced them.
Not necessarily.
I think that is the very definition of trafficking, is that I am being moved across state lines for sexual purposes against my will.
And we have witness after witness alleging direct and aggressive coercion.
Coercion with money. And with gifts.
I hope they put Weinstein and Diddy in the same cell.
I can't believe
notes.
You're forcing me to defend P. Diddy.
I can't believe you're defending him.
I'm not. I'm saying I don't think the charges that he is accused of are what they have been able to prove from what I've read and seen. 913-586-7798. News coming up in 2 minutes here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.